Penguin Random House Audio presents The World in Six Songs, How the Musical Brain Created Human Nature. This is the author, Daniel Levitin. The World in Six Songs contains lyrics from many well-known and not well-known songs. Due to copyright restrictions, we're not able to sing them for you, but I can recite the lyrics, which I will do here, unless the songs are in the public domain. Chapter 1. Taking It from the Top, or The Hills Are Alive. On my desk right now, I have a stack of music CDs that couldn't be more different. An 18th century opera by Marin Marais, whose lyrics describe the gory details of a surgical operation. A North African griot singing a song to businessmen passing by in the hopes of securing a handout. A piece written 185 years ago that requires 120 musicians to perform it properly, each of them reading a very specific and inviolable part off of a page. Beethoven's Symphony No. 9. Also in the pile, 40 minutes of groans and shrieks made by humpback whales in the Pacific. A North Indian raga accompanied by electric guitar and drum machine. A Peruvian Andes vocal chorus of How to Make a Water Jug. Would you believe an ode to the gustatory pleasures of homegrown tomatoes? Plant 'em in the spring, eat 'em in the summer. All winter without 'em's a culinary bummer. I forget all about the sweatin' and diggin' every time I go out and pick me a biggin'. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'd life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy. That's true love and homegrown tomatoes. Guy Clark. That all these are music may seem self-evident to some or the stuff of argument to others. Many of our parents or grandparents or children say that the music we listen to isn't music at all. It's just noise. Noise, by definition, is a set of sounds that are random, confused, or uninterpretable. Could it be that all sound is potentially musical if only we could understand its internal structure, its organization? This is what the composer Edgar Varèse was driving at when he famously defined music as organized sound. What sounds like noise to one person is music to another, and vice versa. In other words, one man's Mozart is another's Madonna. One person's Prince is another's Purcell, Parton, or Parker. Perhaps there is a key to understanding what is common to all these collections of sounds, and to what has driven humans since the beginning to engage with them so deeply as not just sound, but music. Music is characterized both by its ubiquity and its antiquity, as the musicologist David Huron notes. There is no known culture now or any time in the past that lacks it, and some of the oldest human-made artifacts found at archaeological sites are musical instruments. Music is important in the daily lives of most people in the world, and has been throughout human history. Anyone who wants to understand human nature, the interaction between brain and culture, between evolution, mind, and society, has to take a close look at the role that music has held in the lives of humans, at the way that music and people co-evolved, each shaping the other. Musicologists, archaeologists, and psychologists have danced around the topic, but until now, no one has brought all of these disciplines together to form a coherent account of the impact music has had on the course of our social history. This book is a lot like making a family tree, a tree of musical themes that have shaped our ancestors' lives, their working days, their sleepless nights, the soundtrack of civilization. Anthropologists, archaeologists, biologists, and psychologists all study human origins. But relatively little attention has been paid to the origins of music. I find that odd. Americans spend more money on music than they do on prescription drugs or sex, and the average American hears more than 5 hours of music per day. We know now that music can affect our moods and our brain's chemistry. On a day-to-day level, a better understanding of the common history between music and humanity can help us to better understand our musical choices, our likes and dislikes, to harness the power of music to control our moods. But far more than that, understanding our mutual history will help us to see how music has been a shaping force, how music has been there to guide the development of human nature. The World in Six Songs explains, at least in part, the evolution of music and brains over tens of thousands of years and across the six inhabited continents. Music, I argue, is not simply a distraction or a pastime, but a core element of our identity as a species, an activity that paved the way for more complex behaviors, such as language, large-scale cooperative undertakings, and the passing down of important information from one generation to the next. This audiobook explains how we can better understand the role that music has played in our species by thinking about six kinds of songs. They are songs of friendship, joy, comfort, knowledge, religion, and love. Much of the world's music is now available as compact discs or digitized sound files. We live in a time of unprecedented access to music. Virtually every song ever recorded in the history of the world is available on the internet somewhere, for free. And although recorded music represents only a small proportion of all the music that has ever been sung, played, and heard, there is so much of it, estimates suggest 10 million songs or more, that recorded music is as good a place as any to start to talk about the music of the world. Thanks to intrepid musicologists and anthropologists, even rare, indigenous, and pre-industrial music is now available to us. Cultures that have been cut off from industrialization and Western influence have had their music preserved, and by their own accounts, it may have been unchanged for many centuries, giving us a window into the music of our ancestors. The more I listen to music like this, and to Western artists that are new to me, the more conscious I become of how large music is, and how much there is to know. The diversity of our musical legacy includes songs that tell stories about people, such as Bad Bad Leroy Brown or Cruella de Vil. There's a catchy song about a murderous psychopath who kills the judge at his own trial. Songs exhorting us to buy this meat product and not that. Armor Hot Dogs versus Oscar Mayer Wieners. A song promising to keep a promise. A song mourning the loss of a parent. Music made on instruments believed to be 1,000 years old and on instruments invented just this week. Music played on power tools. An album of Christmas carols sung by frogs. Songs sung to enact social and political change. The fictional Borat singing the equally fictional national anthem of Kazakhstan, boasting about his country's mining industry. Kazakhstan, greatest country in the world. All other countries are run by little girls. Kazakhstan, number one exporter of potassium. All other countries have inferior potassium. And a song about suburban noise pollution. Here comes the dirt bike. Beware of the dirt bike. Brainwashing dirt bike. Ground-shaking dirt bike. Mind-bending dirt bike. In control. Soul-crushing dirt bike. In spite of all this diversity, I believe that there are six kinds of songs, six ways that we have always used and experienced music in our lives that carry a great deal of explanatory power. I have been making and studying music for most of my life. I had a career producing pop and rock records for a number of years, and now I direct a research laboratory studying music, evolution, and the brain. Yet, I was concerned when I started this project that I might be blinkered. I didn't want to be ego or ethnocentric. I didn't want to be culturally biased or fall prey to any of a number of other insidious biases of gender, genre, or generation, or even pitch bias or rhythm bias.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?